نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم مع بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم وأموالكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many qualities that are in contrast to each other, right? And so the qualities that we're discussing are al-zahir al-batin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is apparent, He's hidden, He's outward, He's inward. And these qualities, you know, functionally opposite of each other, it's not clear immediately how they apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So the words, the names that we're talking about, al-zahir, al-dhahir refers to something that's apparent, something that has dhuhur, something that is easily seen. And from that we get the word dhuhr. Right? Dhuhr is in the middle of the day. It's when the sun is at its peak. It's when everything is, as they say, clear as day. And so it's a time when nothing is hidden. It's a time when everything is as apparent as it possibly could be. And so that's dhuhr. That's where the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes as well, al-dhahir. On the other hand, you have al-batin. And batin is kind of the opposite of it, in the sense that you could understand batin as something that's hidden. You could also understand batin as something that's inward. And so like a baitana is the inner lining of your clothing would be referred to as the baitana. And so that's batin, that's inward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is outward and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inward. Now again, how that applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a few ways you could take it. And so one of the ways to talk about this is to say that the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extensive, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control is everywhere in the outward realm, right? Everywhere in the kharij, everywhere outwardly in real life that we can see, that's perceivable, is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So the mountains are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the skies are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that we see, things that we know that are moving around, the people, right, the nations, the things that are happening that we can see, these are all under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then inwardly as well, things that are hidden, things that we can't see, we know gravity is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know how the movements of what happens in the womb, the construction, the development of the child, all of those things then also are part of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in that sense we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat, His power, His control is affecting everything. And so no one... Yani, in this is it's a warning, it's also like a blessing. It's something to appreciate. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control of everything means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully capable of taking your life when He wants, of giving you life again. Allah's qudrat is there. Allah's qudrat is zahir, Allah's qudrat is batin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control outwardly, inwardly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control. No one's getting away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Anything we do, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, no one escapes. So that's the warning aspect of it. But then there's the blessing of it as well. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can control everything. When we make dua, we ask Allah to change things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah is in control. Because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? وَأَصْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He gives you His blessings, His outward blessings and His apparent open blessings and His hidden blessings. There are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Ni'amahu zahiratan wa batina. There are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of which are visible. Right? There's outward blessings of Allah, the clothes, the cars, the kids. These are things that you can see. And then there's inward blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things we can't see. Right? The comfort, the sakina of the eyes, right, the health, a lot of things you can't see, but they are blessings, they're there. This is Allah's control that's taking things. So that's one way to apply these contrasting qualities to Allah, right? His power is outward, He overcomes everything, nothing overcomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inwardly. The next then would be his knowledge. Right? The ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is outward. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that is apparent and inward. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that is hidden. Now these qualities, they're like opposites, right? They're contrasting. There's a lot of qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are like that. Right? And what these first two applications that we've done of Zahir and Batin, these first two, one was control, one was knowledge. Right? We said the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is external, it's internal. We can say the same about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's external, it's internal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that's happening here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our intentions when we're sitting, listening, thinking, talking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the shayateen are here as well, putting in fitnas, right? Thinking about the food, thinking about why is this talk so boring, thinking about when is it going to stop, right? All the shayateen are here. Allah knows that. Allah ta'ala knows what's outside. Allah ta'ala knows what's inside. Allah ta'ala knows all of it. And so that these two qualities we mentioned, these two applications of Zahir and Batin, one was power, one was knowledge. This is what in Arabic we refer to as ilm and qudra. Right, so ilm and qudrat are two things that are almost always together. Right, as in like certain things you know, like whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about salah, often talks about zakah, right? Aqimu salah wa atu zakah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about jannah, talks about jahannam. Right, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about ilm, he talks about qudra. When he talks about qudra, he talks about ilm. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about knowledge and control, these two things, they're often paired together. Like ghafur rahim. They're often paired together. And so these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like they're, first of all, they're necessary qualities of Allah. By definition, for Allah to be Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to have these qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to have knowledge, He has to have control to be who He is. What these qualities then are doing is they're telling us the extent of those original qualities. Yani when we're saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dahir, He's outward, external, and He is batin, He is inward, internal, we're saying His qualities of ilm and qudrat, they apply throughout the spectrum. They're on every side of the spectrum. And we talked about how you get certain qualities paired together. Sometimes pairs are paired up together. And so the example is like zahir and batin. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions zahir and batin, He also talks about awal and akhir. Right? Like that, the awal and akhir are also opposite qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're also names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first and the last. Right, we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as al-awwal and al-akhir. That pair is often paired with al-zahir and batin. And so the ayat is what we mentioned at the beginning, huwa al-awwal wa al-akhir wa al-zahirun wa al-batin wa huwa bikulli shay'in alim. Right, that was paired in the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He's the first, He's the last, He's the apparent, He's the hidden. It's also found in the hadith, and so there's one dua. There's one dua, and again, this dua, again, what I'm trying to focus on is the fact that awal and akhir is being paired with zahir and batin. And so the dua is Allahumma rabba samawati wal ard, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the skies and the earth, wa rabbal arsh al azim, and the Lord of the great throne, rabbana wa rabba kulli shay', our Lord and the Lord of everything, faliq al habbi wal nawa wa munzil al tawrat wal injili wal furqan, the one who has split the grain, the seed, right, the one who has revealed the Torah, the Injil, the Quran. وَمُنْزِلَ التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْفُرْقَانِ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَنْتَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِي. Right, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from everything that He has full control of. And then the next part of the dua goes into وَأَنْتَ الْأَوَّلْ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرْ فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٍ. Oh Allah, You are the first. There's nothing before You. You are the last. There's nothing after You. وَأَنْتَ الظَّاهِرُ فَلَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٌ وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٌ. And then we say, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, You are the apparent, there is nothing above You, right? And You are the hidden. You don't want to translate it as there's nothing below You, right? That doesn't have a very respectful connotation. And so how do you understand that? When we're saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ظَاهِر, He overcomes everything, right? He's overcoming of the, like, there's no power above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what we'll say, Allah is ظَاهِر, He's above everything. وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. And we'll say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is internal, there's nothing deeper than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that knowledge, that qudrat, the ilm and qudrat, the knowledge and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're extensive, they're also intensive. Right? There's لَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٍ لَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. Right? Then the dua ends, اقضي عنا الدين واغننا عن الفقر. Right? Fulfill our debts and save us from poverty. This dua that I just recited, this dua is one of the duas for going to sleep. And just to go off track for a little bit, it's really important to learn these duas. These duas that are masnoon duas that come in the Quran and the Sunnah. Like as children, we learned maybe one or two duas. We learned one dua for sleeping. We learned one dua for eating. We learned one dua for entering the house. One dua for exiting the house. There's many more duas. There's like seven duas for eating. There's about six. This one that I read was for sleeping. There's like six duas at least for when you go to sleep. Right? These duas are powerful. These duas, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them to his ummah. They're part of the sunnah. You want to talk about ihya us-sunnah. You want to talk about enlivening the sunnah, bringing the sunnah back alive. Part of the sunnah is the duas. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the sahaba how to do ibadah. Salah is an ibadah, right? Our zakat is an ibadah. These duas are also ibadah. These duas need to be a part of our lives. They need to be something that we're... And it's only difficult like the first couple of times. This dua I recited right now, I didn't know this dua. I just memorized it recently just so that I could sit here and tell you guys to memorize it as well, right? Because it wouldn't be fair to me to tell everyone to memorize it and I haven't memorized it myself. Right, so it's only difficult. Once you bring it into practice, within a week or two, it's become second nature, and that the benefit of it stays throughout your life, in this and the next. And so the du'as are something that we should all keep in mind. Khair. The point being that these two qualities, these two pairs of qualities were brought together. Awal and Akhir was mentioned together in the ayah, and Zahir al-Batin, they were mentioned together in the ayah, they were mentioned together in the hadith. And so if we're understanding these qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of qudrat and ilm, in terms of knowledge and power, then we're saying that the knowledge and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they extend to the end of every spectrum of multiple dimensions. Yani, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is awwal, he's the first, he's the last. Right? He's the most apparent, he's the most hidden. In every spectrum of every dimension, Allah's knowledge, his power is encompassing all of it. That's with that understanding. But there's another way to take it, and that is to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, not his qualities, himself Allah is zahir and batin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is apparent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden. And so then what that would refer to are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is apparent in his existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wujud, his existence is apparent. His signs are everywhere. Right? If I know right now that there's oxygen in this room, it's apparent to me, it's obvious to me. Not because I have any technical instruments that I've, you know, used to test the air quality, but because I know I'm not suffocating. Because I know that we can breathe comfortably, I know there's oxygen here. This is zahir to me. Right? If I take an iron and I plug it into a power strip and the iron doesn't turn on, and then I take another iron and I plug that one into the power strip and it turns on, then I know the problem is with the first iron. How do I know that? I didn't open it up and check the circuitry. But I know that because I can see the signs. I can figure it out. And so the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apparent. The dhuhur, the appearance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obviousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there in his signs. It's there in how he shows himself, right? There's if you want to identify something, there's a few ways you can identify something. If you want to like come to a ta'rif, a definition of something, you can talk about that thing itself, right? You can talk about what is a human, right? A human is a type of animal, it's a type of creature that does this and this, and it has, you know, these special qualities. Or you could talk about something in a way that you talk about certain qualities that are specific to that item that you're describing, right? So if we're talking about humans and I want to describe humans without directly talking about the reality of humans, I can tell you that humans are the ones that laugh and cry, because that's a quality that only humans do, right? I can describe and I can identify humans as the ones that laugh and cry. That's similar to how we understand Allah, right? We don't know the reality of Allah. We're never going to get to that reality. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond us in this dunya. But we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his qualities that are only his. Right? We recognize, that's why we talk about these 99 names. These 99 names, that's what they're doing. They're not going to give us the reality of Allah. But they're going to teach us things that are only true about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to teach us qualities that are only applicable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the way we recognize humans by certain qualities that are only theirs, we can identify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by qualities that are only His. And so when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dhahir, like His manifestations are apparent. Right? So those manifestations happen many ways. They're dhahir in the sense that they're everywhere. And the famous example that I like to give is the example in Surah Ghashiya, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, He gives an example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Bedouin, like, you know, they're Arabs, right? The Quran is being revealed to Arabs. And so they're Bedouins, they're rural. And so you talk about a person, an Arab, he's riding a camel and he's going through the desert and he's traveling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in Surah Ghashiya. إِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, like, this person in this whole picture, you see this person, he's traveling. And so doesn't he look at the skies, how they've been raised? Right? Doesn't he look at the mountains, the way they've been set? Doesn't he look at the earth, how it's been flattened for him? In every direction that he looks, he's looking up the clouds, he's looking to the sides, he's seeing the mountains. He's looking below him, he's seeing the ground. And any direction he sees the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that dhuhur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is His appearance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in every direction. You look at the sky, you can see, right? I mean, to go into the detail of everything is, it's its own discussion, right? But the signs are there. And anything you look at, you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it there for purpose. And one of the most, like, I think that one of the most precise ayat, or how to say it, but the ayat that really bring this point out, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose things to be there, that they were put there with deliberation. This is an ayat in Surah Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about sinwanun wa ghayru sinwan. Right, you get date palm trees. Some of them, they're straight, like one trunk. Right, this one trunk with the leaves on top. You get some sort of palm trees where there are multiple trunks are coming out of the same root. And so that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as sinwan wa ghayru sinwan. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates variation in His creation. Where does that variation come from? Right, you have two trees that are right next to each other. Same species of tree, same nutrients, same environment, they're right next to each other. One of them has green leaves, one of them has red leaves. Right? It's a transition into fall, and some of the leaves are changing and some of them are not. You have two leaves on the same branch. One of them fell, one of them didn't. There's variation in the creation. Where does that variation come from? Right? Why are the two, like, we've talked about this before, why do you have two kids of the same parent? One of them is extremely extroverted, one of them is introverted. What causes that variation? Right, people will come up with their, like, justifications. You know, they'll say there's something coding in the DNA. They'll say, they said there was some, you know, the water was, it went in one direction, didn't go in the other direction. Khalas, all of those things are true. But those are also deliberations of Allah. You're just giving me further signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not denying Allah. And so then that, obviously the next question would be, who put that DNA there? Allah put that. Like, it's, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dhahir for us. We see it, we recognize it. Right, we're seeing all of these things, we can attribute them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're dhahir for us. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also batin. These things that are so obvious to Muslims, they can be hidden from others. Right? Things that are very obvious can be hidden from you. There's a saying in Arabic, حُبُّكَ شَيْءٍ يُعْمِي وَيُسِمْ. When you love something, it can blind you. Right? يُعْمِي وَيُسِمْ. It blinds you, it deafens you. Right, people that are obsessed with dunya, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here should be enough. And we'll finish off with this concept of ihsan. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here, knowing His power, His knowledge is here, it should be enough for a person to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be enough for a person to continuously be in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But حُبُّكَ شَيْءٍ يُعْمِي وَيُسِمْ. When you love something, your love of dunya, your love of your sin, your love of your disobedience, your love of your comforts, they blind you from Allah, they deafen you from Allah. And so you're no longer of those people that can see Allah. You're no longer of those people for whom Allah is dhahir. That love of dunya makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hidden. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also al-batin. He's the one that is hidden. Right? That love of the dunya. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted when he was asked about ihsan. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about ihsan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you're seeing Him. Right? As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, His dhat is dhahir, His actuality is dhahir, is apparent to you. Because even though He's not, وَإِلَّمْ تُكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Even though He's not, know that His knowledge is. If even though you're not seeing him, he's seeing you. And although Allah's essence and reality is not zahir, his ilm is zahir. He's watching you. His qudrat is zahir. And so that, knowing that, knowing that ilm and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here with us, that Allah is here with us right now, is what brings a person to ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and to practice. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. إن شاء الله do some dhikr, إن شاء الله, and then have the dua and can continue with the shock.
La ilaha illallah.
إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ 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 إِلَّا اللَّهُ اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, maliki yawm al-deen, iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim, wala al-dhalin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma ansur man nasara dina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waj'alna minhum, wa khdhul man khadhala dina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa la taj'alna minhum. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا ورزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا ورزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help all the Muslims throughout the world. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the Muslims that are going through different difficulties. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, those Muslims that are sick, you grant them shifa. Oh Allah, those Muslims that are in fear, oh Allah, you grant them comfort and ease. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those Muslims that are hungry, oh Allah, you feed them. Oh Allah, those Muslims that are naked, oh Allah, you clothe them. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims that are seeking shelter, you grant them shelter. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those Muslims that are going through all the different pains, oh Allah, in Gaza, oh Allah, in Palestine, oh Allah, in Kashmir, in Pakistan, in India, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the world, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the Muslims that face what they face. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you grant them ease and comfort, oh Allah, in this world and the next. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the hujjaj that are preparing for their hajj journey, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make their preparations easy, oh Allah. All the different Muslims throughout the world that are preparing to in part in this ibadat, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make us amongst them as well, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us join in their rewards, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let their preparations be easy, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let their search of knowledge be easy, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept their hajj as well, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept the hajj of the entire ummah, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that haven't been for hajj, O Allah, you grant them the tawfiq to go for hajj as well. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين